everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast, a podcast for Mavs fans. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin!
I'm not responding.
Okay. Anyways, tonight was the Mavericks' first preseason game. We did not get to see Kristaps and Luka because Rick is...
It is a buzzkill.
...is a stick in the mud.
I mean, for crying out loud, like...
So we got to watch the most boring preseason game, and that's saying something.
Well, it was mainly boring because this anticipation, we finally were going to get
like
to see.
It was like a buildup for literally since, what, February, March, when they made that trade. What is that, 6 months, 9 months? For Porzingis, it's 20 months.
And Carlisle's like, nah. Nah. I don't. And it's like, can you just consider the fan base? And how the players feel. Like, does it really matter whether you sat them tonight or tomorrow night?
Well, I think it's because they had training camp practice like yesterday or something. So it was like a back-to-back of practice. And like, but I was like, this is the NBA in 2019 where load management starts with the very first preseason game.
It's ridiculous. It was such a buzzkill.
Yeah. So, but we did get a good look at all the other players. So anyway, we're going to talk about the preseason game. But first, we want to tell you guys about something pretty cool. So we're launching a new podcast called Dallas Hoops Gamecast. And on that show, we're going to do, it'll be a post-game Mavericks podcast. And so after every game, we'll do a full game breakdown, go over the highlights, the box score, give our thoughts on the game and what it means for the Mavericks. That's a totally separate show. So if you're into that, if you want to listen to that, subscribe to just search on whatever listening platform you use. Search for Dallas Hoops Gamecast and subscribe. Of course, all of those new episodes plus Dallas Hoops Fancast will be on DallasHoopsCast.com, so you can listen to everything there. So we're going to do this first preseason game recap on this podcast, Dallas Hoops Fancast. But going forward, if you want to listen to those, subscribe to Dallas Hoops Gamecast. Does that make sense? Did I explain that very well?
Why are we posting them on two different, like...
Well, because not everyone will want... like a post-game show, or maybe they only want the post-game show and they don't want the weekly show. Like, people want choices. I want to give people choices.
Oh, I was asking you that off the record, but you're talking to me like you're still on the podcast.
Well, it was a good question.
Oh.
Excellent question, Martin.
Okay.
So I decided to answer it. Anyways, so yes, Dallas Hoops Gamecast. You can stream all of these episodes from both shows on DallasHoopsCast.com. But first, you can follow the show on Twitter at Dallas Hoops Cast, and you can follow me on Twitter at _ Sydney Myers, and you can leave a review because we're awesome. Thank you. Okay. The preseason game. So no Luka, no Porzingis.
No interest.
Tell me though, what was more surprising to you tonight? Steven Adams making a three, Boban making a three-pointer, or Ben Simmons making a three-pointer?
I mean... I don't even want to talk. The whole Ben Simmons thing has gotten so overblown. ESPN on the bottom line.
The bottom ticker.
The score of the Sixers game.
Ben Simmons makes a three-pointer.
And it's just like, really? Like, is this breaking news for crying out loud? Like, can we leave the guy alone?
Well, you know, it's amazing that he's been able to be as great of a player as he is without being a
shooter.
I'm
not the biggest Ben Simmons fan, but the dude's an all-star.
Yeah.
You know, like in the East. Jeff Van Gundy said
in the telecast,
yeah, that like we're so focused on him shooting a three that we're forgetting about all the good things that he does. And I just couldn't believe it was on the ticker on the bottom. Like, this is getting out of hand.
Yeah, he's basically like the anti-Steph Curry.
That being said, I was more surprised with him hitting a three, but only because it was his first one.
Yeah.
Actually, the Steven Adams three kind of threw me off, especially they started the game that
way. It was
the
first possession.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess he worked on that this summer.
Since Luka and Porzingis didn't play, we did get a good look at all these other players because there was a lot of minutes to go around. Mm-hmm. I think I want to start with... two or three guys that we're still not really sure who's going to be the fifth starter. I don't know if that sentence made sense, but basically there's the fifth starter. We're not sure who it's going to be. And the two or three guys that we think it could be, Justin Jackson, Dorian Finney-Smith, and I guess Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah. I think it's a competition between them three.
Yeah. Those three got lots of run. Tim Hardaway really just the first half, but all three of them got to play. Based on what you saw, since this is obviously when we should make our decision and our input matters, which one do you think was the best or is the best fit for that spot?
Well, after this one game, it's Justin Jackson, only because he was really the only one that played well. It's really Finney Smith, you know, I know he's done a great job for being an undrafted player, but he just doesn't do enough on the court for mm-hmm. me.
Yeah,
I know people say he's a bulldog defensively and all that, but you know he just doesn't do enough for me. And if his shot's not going in, then he's really essentially pointless. Justin Jackson has a clean looking shot, and I believe he's if not as good of a defender, he's just right below Finney Smith.
Yeah, I mean, so I want to make it clear first, I'm not high on either one of these guys. So just because I defend one over the other does not mean that I think he's actually a good player. But I agree with you. Like Dorian Finney-Smith, it's like a, you know, that you talk about players that have, they hustle a lot mm-hmm. and they work really hard. And that's great. Finney-Smith is like that. But that only gets you so far. Like in basketball or just in life, hustle only gets you so far. Like at some point you have to actually have skill. And Finney Smith, I don't think has a lot of skill. He's just, he works hard and he hustles.
Yeah, I cut you off. Sorry. But he doesn't do anything
well. Yeah.
And it's like he does a lot of good things. Like he's not a good enough defender. It's not like he's Tony Allen out there where he doesn't worry about scoring.
Yeah.
If he were as good of a defender as Tony Allen, this wouldn't be a debate. Because he can literally lock down the other guy's best player. Yeah. He can't do that right now.
Yeah. Well, and Justin Jackson, you know, again, not that he's a great player. Best case scenario, he's not even getting minutes on the team. But between the two, I think he has more skill. And we saw that tonight in his decision-making, his shooting, his floater. He just mm-hmm. has a little more skill than Finney Smith.
And he plays more decisively. Like, when he gets the ball, he just goes. If he's got an open shot, he shoots it. If he doesn't, he just moves on. And it's perfect for Carlisle. I think right now, Justin Jackson's probably in the lead for that starting role. The jury's still out on Tim Hardaway Jr. Tim Hardaway, yeah. You know, he's got the perfect body for a wing player.
Yeah.
He's a legit 6'6". He's got a beautiful form.
He's got great size.
He's got great size, strength. Athleticism, strength. But the ball just doesn't go in enough.
It's weird. It's like, yeah, we were talking about that during the game. And I've been thinking about it over the past few weeks. Like, Tim Hardaway Jr. should be better than he is.
Now, to be fair, this was one preseason game.
Yeah.
But we're just talking about overall his
career.
Yeah,
well, this is even just thinking about his career. It's, I mean, like you said, he's got the perfect body. He's got great form. He has the fundamentals. He has the genealogy to be mm-hmm. a great player. It's like everything is there, but for some reason he's not a bad player. He is okay or maybe good in some spots, but I just like, man, when you look at him, like if you were to scout him, you'd think like this dude should be a stud. Mm-hmm. And it's weird that he's not. But I mean, I still like him, but
I watched one video over the summer of him shooting threes, and I think he made like 27 straight or something. Wow. And it was just swish, swish. And I was like, where is that in the game?
And it's I like, don't know if it's confidence.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just lack of good opportunity. Like he's never had a point guard like Luka.
Maybe.
And Luka wasn't in the game tonight.
Yeah.
So who knows how many opportunities he would have gotten if Luka is out there and is able to find him for an open shot. All of the shots he had tonight were kind of forced.
Yeah, with a hand in his face.
Yeah, but yeah. I would say right now the leading candidate for the last starting spot is Justin Jackson. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on whether or not Tim Hardaway Jr. should start. And honestly, I kind of want to try. I want to try both. Mm-hmm. I want to try him in that starting spot because I think his playmaking, pairing that with Luka, I think that makes sense. I think that fits what Carlisle likes to do, which is to have two playmaking guards. I think that could work really well. But I also think, again, because of his playmaking and his skill, he could be a really good sixth man coming off the bench. Yeah. So I want to try both.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, we have
we got to play more time.
Yeah, 2 weeks until the season starts. And then I'm sure it'll fluctuate as the season goes on, whoever's playing well, whoever earns it. Like, Justin Jackson won it over Dorian Finney-Smith last year.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, and we've said this before, I don't understand the debate between Justin Jackson and Finney-Smith. It's like, well, that's already been settled. Yeah. Like, that was settled last season,
Finney-Smith is a nice player.
He's a nice player.
And this is now, what, his fifth season, his fourth season?
I'm not sure.
And he just hasn't developed the way that we expected him to. And I guess we're asking too much from an undrafted player. I don't know. Like, we're expecting him to be this lockdown defender and dead-eye three-point shooter.
Well, this is just based on what people say.
Yeah, well, he gets so much hype every offseason. Yeah. A lot of it's fan hype. But even writers and media talk about, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith's progress and can he turn into that player that everybody wants. And, you know, he kind of lost it last year when Justin Jackson, who wasn't even playing in Sacramento, came in and took the starting job.
I will say, so this is his fourth season. He has gotten better every year. His rookie year, he went from 4.3 points to 5.9 points to 7.5 points. His shooting went from 37 to 38 to 43. His three-point shooting went from 29 to 29 to 31. None of those are good. But, I mean, he has gotten better every year. But I think Justin Jackson is better. And I don't even think that Justin Jackson is that good.
Yeah.
That's how low I think of
Finney-Smith. Clearly the Mavs have a hole on that other wing position. I think they like DeLon. Now, the jury's still out on DeLon Wright.
Yeah.
Like, let's not act like he's a proven all-star or anything.
No,
like
but
that.
I think he's a lock as a starter.
I think if it doesn't work out with any of those three guys, I think you need to seriously consider Seth Curry.
Yeah.
Because Seth's shooting ability, it almost demands that he starts. Just because of his ability to hit every open three that he's got.
Especially playing off of Luka and Porzingis. Like, the reasons why I said it makes sense for Hardaway Jr. to start, it's like even more so with Seth Curry.
And I think if you're worried about the defensive end, then in my opinion, you might decide if, let's say that lineup's not working with Justin Jackson and it's just not going well, I would tinker a little bit with it and instead of Powell, have Maxey in there because Maxey's a much better defender.
Yeah.
And have Seth. That way you kind of offset the defense. But what do I know? You know, I'm a fan.
We've only been a fan of a championship team for you.
Jeez.
Yeah. But we didn't get to see a lot of Curry tonight.
No, he played like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think it was more an opportunity for these other guys, these random white dudes, to get a chance. Like the Matthias guy.
There's one.
And Yudai Baba.
I don't think Japanese is considered white.
He has.
Let's not go down this race war.
Yudai Baba, thoughts on him? That dude, he's got guts.
I'll tell you what, he played better than Dorian Finney-Smith tonight.
I mean, and he just went out there and just balled.
He's small. I don't know how big he is. Like, is he 6'3", 6'4"?
Let me check.
Because he's like really skinny, but he's really quick and he's really aggressive. Yeah. As I watch him now take it all the way to the basket. Ooh, he almost just tried to dunk on somebody and got fouled.
There's like no information on Yudai Baba.
Japanese.
His player page on Basketball Reference is blank. Maybe I'll Google him or something. Yeah, he's fun to watch. You know, I doubt he's going to make the team, but
hopefully he'll be in the G League.
Yeah, he might be in the G League. This was also our first look in a, you know, kind of NBA game at Isaiah Roby. I thought that he had some good moves. He got in the post. He got some easy layups, but he missed them. And it's like, can you just try it? Like, focus a little more. Because you get it right there.
Can't
like,
you just make it?
Well, I mean, obviously he's got the move, you know, the ability to get to the basket. And when it's a layup, it's like, I feel like that's makeable.
Okay, so there's a difference between he's got the move and not because...
Maybe they just weren't playing defense.
He just threw it up there, and it looked like it was a move because, you know, he had a shot.
True,
but he was really just he looks way out of his league. Like, you know, he's a second-round pick out of college, so I expect him to spend a lot of time in the G League.
Yeah. I think sometimes he, like, I don't know, rushed a shot or just sort of didn't really know what...
Like, it's Carlisle's nightmare was coming true when he got the rebound, didn't know what to do, so dribbled it down and just pulled up for three. And it's like, no, it's like, that ain't your game. What? You're not Steph Curry. You're not Seth Curry. You're not even Yodi Baba.
Yodi Baba. It's not that hard.
The other guy I wanted to talk about and what everybody was really excited about from the Summer League was Josh Reeves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Reeves Hive. Are you a member of Reeves Hive?
You know what? He had some really good moments tonight. He had some really bad moments tonight.
Yeah.
But he had more good moments to me. He's got a knack for the defensive end.
I don't know. I was meh on him. Like, watching the game, I was like, okay, he's got some energy to him. I feel aggressiveness. Like
I
saw lapses of interest.
I don't know. Maybe that's his body language. I can't believe that a guy trying to make the team in his first NBA game shows a lack of interest. If he did,
I'm just telling you what I saw, bro.
You know, just cut him now if he's not interested. So I'm assuming that might just be his body language. Maybe. But I feel like every time the ball was in his area, he was getting his hands on it, knocking it out somewhere. He had a couple of steals.
Yeah.
He didn't make very good decisions on the offensive end. I think he was forcing it a bit.
That's what I was going to say.
But I think on the defensive end, he's got, like, for rookies to be that good defensively, it says a lot. So I think he's got a real knack for it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, whatevs on Josh Reeves, because it's like, he makes the team or he doesn't make the team. I don't think
he's never gonna play.
It doesn't make a difference to me. So, yeah. But it was, I mean, it was cool to see everyone and,
well, except Luka.
Except Luka and KP, which is the only.
We didn't even get JJ tonight.
I know. I was wondering if he was gonna play, but I don't know. Maybe they wanna be safe. But yeah, that's pretty much it. We actually, the game's over now. We actually started recording this the fourth quarter because the game was so boring. We were like, let's just do the potty. Thunder won 119-104. Leading score for the Mavs, there were two. Maxi Kleba had 14. Justin Jackson had 14. Leading rebounder was Isaiah Roby. Nope, that's not true.
You know what? I'm
Brokoff
already bored.
Had 10 rebounds.
We don't have the Brokoff had 10 rebounds?
He did.
I think he just earned another year.
Yeah. I mean, I like Ryan Brokoff.
Well, you know, he never gets a shot, and it's because nobody ever leaves him. Like, he's such a good shooter.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it. They know he never plays, but they know there's one reason why he's out there.
Yeah, to shoot threes.
To shoot threes. So he never gets an open shot. It's frustrating because it's like when he does, it's going in.
Yeah. Finney Smith had 6 points. DeLon.
DeLon.
Not DeRell. I was like, hold on, that doesn't sound right. DeLon Wright. We're almost done. Had 2 points, 1 rebound. Tim Hardaway Jr. had 3 points. Isaiah Roby had 2 points. This is how boring this game was.
Yeah, I don't know why we're going through this box score.
Anyways, it was a great game. Hopefully tomorrow we'll get to see Porzingis and Luka.
Oh, we bet. If not, I'm sorry. I'm going to protest a fire Rick.
I think it's fire too early for that.
No, it's not. It's already getting frustrating with his decision making.
We're always so hard and critical of Rick Carlisle. Because Rick Carlisle, as what's his face was saying on the broadcast the whole night.
Rick Carlisle.
Carlisle. I was like, why are you saying it like that?
Yeah. Anyways, we'll see. I'm looking forward to tomorrow to see. I just want to see Porzingis in a Mavericks jersey setting a screen for Luka. If we get that, I'm good. I don't care how many minutes he plays. I just want to see that.
I just want to see that, too. Speaking of Porzingis, so that's the recap of tonight's show. We actually recorded the next segment earlier. So if things are a little disconnected, I apologize. But speaking of Porzingis, I did want to talk about an article that we just posted on DallasHoopsCast.com where we looked at 6 players who had torn their ACL that closely resemble Kristaps Porzingis in some way, whether in like age, playing style, talent level, or so on. And we took a deep look at their recovery, not just the year they came back, but really the rest of their season or their season or the rest of their career or their career thus far, to kind of give us a glimpse into what Porzingis could be like. We already looked at the data from all the players that tore their ACL, and we used those numbers to try to make projections for this year. But in this article, we looked at 6 specific players. So you can read that article on DallasHoopsCast.com, but I wanted to talk about One particular player that I think resembles Porzingis the most. We looked at, I'll list the six players that we looked at. They were Danilo Gallinari, Danny Manning, Mark Price, Zach LaVine, Al Jefferson, and Bernard King. For this episode, I wanted to focus on one of them in particular, and that's Zach LaVine. Because I think Zach LaVine, out of all of them, probably most closely mirrors Porzingis.
Why you say that?
Well, good question, Martin.
Well, it looked like you stopped in mid-thought, and I'm like, are we going to continue to talk about it?
Or? Well, I thought you were going to say something. Oh, okay. No. But you can just throw it back on me. I like the nice play there. Okay. Yes. First reason, his age. So Zach LaVine was 22. Porzingis was 22. And out of the 69 players that we looked at, I think only like 16 of them were 22 or younger. So being that young was actually pretty rare. LaVine was Porzingis' age when he had the injury. To play style, LaVine is very athletic. He relies on his athleticism. He's very mobile. I know Porzingis is obviously taller, but when you think about the way that they play, the way that they move around and use their body, it's very similar. Porzingis was very mobile. He's very athletic. So a lot of similarities in their style of play. Also in talent level, Zach LaVine, before his injury, was averaging almost 19 points. And that was pretty rare. I think only seven of the players that we looked at were averaging at least 20 points per game before their injury. So again, that level of talent is rare for this kind of injury, surprisingly. And so Zach LaVine mirrors Porzingis pretty closely there. And then lastly, the recency of it and the era. So Zach LaVine was one of the most recent players to tear his ACL. After that, it was Jabari Parker tore his, but I think that was the second time he had torn it. So not really the same. And then after that, it was just Porzingis and Klay Thompson. So Zach LaVine was the most recent, which I think is a good comparison if you look at like medical procedures, rehabilitation, the way that all of that medical science has advanced over the past few decades. I think he's a good comp for probably what Porzingis did and then what he'll be like once he comes back.
Okay. I didn't know you were going to explain everything, but...
Well, you asked me to...
No, I agree with you on the Zach LaVine thing. I think the biggest indicator is that both the age, but also the advancements in technology and medicine that we have, and it's around the same time as Porzingis. I did notice that also three of these guys were in the 2000s. They were kind of recent history. Mm-hmm. And then before that, you know, Mark Price was 90s, Manning was 90, and Bernard King was before.
Way back.
It doesn't matter. The biggest thing to me, and what I've always thought, and I think it's pretty common knowledge, is that it's more of a mental injury than anything because...
Oh, you mean when they come back?
Yeah. Because, it tears their ACL, but medicine shows that you can get your knee strength back and even better than it was before. But it's the mental side of it that a lot of players don't recover from. Landing on their knee, and sometimes they overcompensate and they'll hurt their other side of their body because they don't want to put too much weight on that one knee.
Well, that was one thing that Porzingis talked about was getting his mind right. Because he said his knee will heal. I mean, that's just the way the body works. Like, your knee is going to heal, you can put on muscle, but getting his mind right.
And it's such a devastating injury. Yeah. I mean, if you were just walking down the road and your knee bent backwards... You know, it'd be terrifying. You'd be afraid to walk on that roadway again. So there is a lot to the mental side to it.
Well, and I think, like you were talking about, the medical advances too. I wonder if that's part of it. Like, if they found a way to kind of help players get their mind
confidence right. back in the knee. Yeah. Another thing, though, is a lot of these players are stars in their own right. Mm-hmm. And, when you look at players that have had serious injuries, it's usually the stars that can come back from that and those that aren't stars that don't. And a lot of it is with opportunity, a play, but also it's a mindset. Like, you know, when you're a star in the NBA, you have a certain mindset. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to stop you. Nobody's going to hold you back. You're going to come back from it. And that's the kind of mindset you really need to come back from this kind of injury. You see it with Paul George when he had that devastating, like his knee, I mean, his shin just cracked. Everything. Yeah. And yet he's better than ever. And that was a really serious injury.
Yeah, that was one thing, you know, kind of jumping off of Zach LaVine a little bit. Bernard King, his story was amazing. I read about it for so long when writing this article, but he was one of the first to have this injury. I think he was maybe like the fourth or fifth player, and it was a career ender at that point. Like the five NBA, okay, so he was a sixth. The five NBA players who tore their ACL before him, those five players played a combined five seasons. So like it was the end of their career. Yep. But he had this determination, like, where it wasn't going to happen. So he rehabbed, like, six days a week, 5 hours a day, every week, every day for an entire year. And when he came back, he was great. And I think it's to your point about how superstars or stars, which he was at that point, they have a mentality that got them there in the first place. And
the hard work.
Yeah, so that same mentality helps them to recover better.
And I think Porzingis has that. He was an all-star, and we've seen nothing but videos and pictures, and all of the, you know, social media has shown so much information about his workouts and his recovery and how much weight he's gained with muscle and how he's worked on his movement and all that. So I think he's put in the work.
Yeah.
You don't sit out 2 years if you're not going to put in the work.
Yeah. And well, and he looks like it too.
Yeah.
But going back to Zach LaVine, like I think his road to recovery and also what he was like when he came back might, you know, because of all the similarities we talked about, this might show us what Porzingis is going to look like. So let me just run through like the before and after for Zach LaVine. Before he tore his ACL, he was playing 37 minutes a game, averaging basically 19 points, 3.5 rebounds, 3 assists, and shooting 46%. He tore his ACL in February. He was traded to the Bulls that summer, and he made his season debut in January 2018. So it was about 11 months after the injury, which was pretty common. Like, for Porzingis to sit out 20 months, that's very rare. Most of these guys, they came back within, like, 8, 10, 11 months, a year. Like, so that's another thing that makes Porzingis rare. But LaVine sat out for 11 months. On his new team that season he came back, he shot he scored 16.7 points per game. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and shot under 39%. He also only played 27 minutes, but he went from 19 points to less than 17. He went from shooting 46% to less than 39%.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, he was still in recovery mode.
Yeah,
well, like, he hasn't even fully recovered from the injury yet, and he's out there trying to play.
Well, it's not all bad news, though. But this is just, like, for the season that he came back. Also, the Bulls sucked. And he was on a brand new team. But again, a lot of similarities. You know, Kristaps is on a brand new team. The Mavericks don't suck. But, you know, there's that similarity. You can kind of see the coming back from a major injury plus being on a new team with a new offense, you can see how that could play a role and possibly did play a role with Zach LaVine. But if you go to the next season, so in the 2018-2019 season, that was this past season, his second season back from an injury, he averaged almost 24 points, over 4.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, and shot nearly 47% from the floor. He had career highs in just about every statistical category. So that first season back was obviously very rough for LaVine, but he went from averaging less than 17 to averaging almost 24.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good, it's a good point to make because I think it shows how age makes a difference. Like, first of all, being that young, 22, your body heals very well. But also, just being that age, even without an injury, you're gonna get better just as a player because you have the time, you're at an age where your body is still growing. And so not only was he able to recover really well from the injury given time, he got even better after the injury.
Yeah, it actually might have helped him, you know, not saying, ooh, I'm glad he got hurt, but you know, for a long time in the recovery period, you can't do a lot of sprinting and cutting and all that for sake of the knee. So really, there's only one thing you can do, and that's shoot.
The fundamentals.
Yeah, and so he probably shot 1,000 jumpers a day just to so he can feel what it feels like, know what it feels like to shoot a basketball.
Yeah, so I think it's a good sign for Porzingis. I think that we should probably temper our expectations. Nope. Like... And I want to be wrong about that. I want to say, like, Porzingis is just going to have a great season. He's going to go back to averaging 23 points and all that. But based on the data of not just LaVine, but everybody, I think that this season might not be great for Porzingis. But
the difference is it's not 11 months for Porzingis. Like, Zach LaVine, 11 months is just not enough time to fully recover. And so I think even though he played the last 3-4 months of the season, a lot of that was still in recovery mode. 27 minutes, load management, all that. Porzingis doesn't have to worry about that. He's not recovering from the injury anymore. So I don't know if it's
that's true. You know, well, and that's, you know, talking about so many things that make Porzingis unique, that's one of the things. I mean, you think about all the things that make Porzingis unique. His height. He's the tallest player ever to tear his ACL. His age, he's only 16 of the players were 22 or younger. The fact that he's going to be on a brand new team, that he's going to be on a better team, the fact that he sat out for 20 months, almost 2 years. I mean, all of these things, first of all, like not even one of them happened with most of these players, but you have all of them happening with him. So really, it's like, you know, when I looked at this data for the first article, I was like, it is impossible to predict what he's going to do, but we can kind of get an idea. I think Zach LaVine is the closest comp. And, you know, we talked about how he did.
Yeah. And I would honestly, I would just look at the second season he came back.
Yeah.
Because he only played 3 months or so when his first season back.
Yeah.
He started in January, February, March, you know, and then half of April. Yeah. And the next season he came out averaging 24 a game or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that's more likely what you're going to see is these players that tore their ACL. What they were like their second season back, because that's essentially what Porzingis is coming back as, his second season. All these players, they come back, they're still recovering from the ACL, but he's not. He's coming back fully recovered.
Yeah. So
he's going to average 30 points a game.
He's not going to average 30
points. Luka's going to average 16 assists a game.
Okay.
And the Mavericks are going to win the championship.
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay. So that was just one player from our list. Like I said, there were six. Another one that really stood out. We won't talk about him too much, but Bernard King, really, you got to read even just this part of the article, but I link to another article that goes into more detail. Just a couple of things about him that I think make him similar to Porzingis. He was, at the time of his injury, he was averaging almost 33 points a game, which is like insane, shooting 53% from the floor. And like I said, in his recovery, he rehabbed 5 hours a day, 6 days a week for a year. Like, he made a deliberate effort to work very hard. And he, it wasn't just like he built muscle. He said that he went through every motion that you would do in a game, like, as slowly as possible so that he could retrain and reteach his body how to move and how to move the right way. And I know that Porzingis focused on that too. And so because of the way that he rehabbed, I think that's a good indication for Porzingis too. The fact that he was able to come back, he came back when he was 30 years old. So he was even older than Porzingis was or is. When he came back in that season, he only played 6 games, but he averaged nearly 23 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists. Over the next 4 seasons, he averaged 22 points, and he made an all-star game appearance at age 34 in the 1991 season. So, I mean, it is possible for a guy to come back and be, like, amazing. And you can read the stories of the other guys in this article.
He also came back on a new team.
Yeah, because he played Knicks, 6 games, averaged, 23 points or something. Yeah, 23 points. And then that summer, the Knicks let him go because they were like, nah. Well, I mean, in their defense, at that time, a torn ACL was the end of your career.
Yeah.
So, you know, he had this, like, chip on his shoulder to prove everyone wrong, which was fine because he totally
did. That's what stars have.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, you can read the rest of the article and look at the other 4 or 5 guys that we listed to see what this could mean for Porzingis. I do think, again, like I said, that this season might not be, it won't be his best, and it might be kind of rough, but if you look at it long term, I think he's going to be fine. So anyway, those are our predictions for Porzingis. Those are our thoughts on the game. Let us know what you guys think. If you get a chance to read that article, send us a message on Twitter. What do you think Porzingis is going to do this year? Since we didn't get to see him tonight, we'll have to keep our predictions going. But again, remember to follow us on Twitter at Dallas Hoopscast. You can follow me on Twitter at _Sydney Myers. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. It's awesome. And the support for the website, like, I'm surprised that it's been that just the way that it's been in its first week. I didn't really expect much because I was like, it's just launching, but you guys have been great in sharing the articles on Twitter, sharing it with your friends. We really appreciate that. It's been awesome. So again, check out the website, DallasHoopsCast.com. But that's it for this episode. Martin, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No.
Okay. We'll see you guys the next episode. Bye. Are you going to say bye? Marty, are you going to say bye?